repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. You may be seated.
With that scripture reading, every child got excited because vain washings. Yes, I don't have to shower or take a bath this week. People got excited because we get to talk about interesting subjects like the resurrection from the dead and various other things that the Hebrews 6 chapter is all about. Well, I don't want you to get ahead of yourself. We're not going to answer those questions or talk specifically about what vain washings were or those concepts that the Hebrew author decided to bring up in those first three verses. Rather, the phrase, let us go on to maturity. Question, how do we move beyond and become better? This morning I tried to leave with each one of us a desire to want to be better. A desire that might grow within each person to move beyond where I am and where I've been, more closer and in a much closer way to who God wants me to be. And I hope that sparked in some way within your heart this morning. Tonight I want to ask the question, practically, how do I, you're thinking yourself, how do I move beyond? How do I get better? Well, that's the question I hope to discuss and answer in some ways tonight. I want to say again, I appreciate your faith. I appreciate your desire to be here. It's cold outside, which means it's going to be warm in here, which means those eyelids are going to get real heavy real quick. But as was mentioned this morning, where two or three are gathered, don't you know God's with us? Don't you know that in this moment, we're praising God, He's in our presence and we are in His? And don't you know that the Spirit will empower you to understand His Word being taught plainly, I hope? And don't you know that Jesus lived before us the perfect life of love and righteousness for us to mimic and mirror in ours? Man, that's our goal tonight as we worship and praise the Father. And I hope you have that intent in your heart as well. Pray with me. We'll begin. Lord God, we seek to honor You tonight in worship and praise, but also in the exaltation of You and Your Word. And we pray we do it with honest hearts and open minds and willing feet. Feet to move beyond where we are and where we've been. Closer, Father, to who You want us to be. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So from the text specifically, this morning we discussed in chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. You ought to be teachers, but hey, you're too dull of hearing. So how do we move beyond? Well, number one, we've got to listen. We've got to listen to the Word of God being taught. Number two, we've got to leave the elementary doctrines, which is what verses 1 through 3 are all about. Guys, we've got to leave the basic stuff because we're listening. Therefore, we are learning, number three, about God. Listen to the Word, leave the world, and learn about the Father. You will grow up into maturity. That's the sermon. Are you ready to stand and sing? I want to dig a little bit deeper, though. I want to give this some more teeth. And in order to give this more teeth, I thought about my family growing up. We all don't know each other all that well, so let me give you a picture of my family. Here are my family members of five. My mother has a wonderful way, had a wonderful way, and still does, of figuring out every disease, every disaster, and possible death situation that you could encounter in your life. You know how I know that? Oh, son, you better not do that. You could get sick. Son, you better not do that. You could get hurt. Oh, son, you better not do that because this could happen, which would be detrimental to your... And my whole life, it took me till I became grown to realize she has the perfect sense of death, disaster, and disease. It's wonderful. My father, on the other side of the equation, is absolutely floating with fairies and butterflies all the time. I don't think he knows what reality is. He never has to buy a new pair of shoes because his feet never hit the ground. Then you get to the kids. You get to the kids, and my older sister had this wonderful ability to be the glue for any group of people that she was around and with. all different types, all different situations. She was the glue girl. And I always have respected that about my sister. I don't know if it's her ability to empathize and sympathize with people, but she was glue. I love that. My twin sister, she was somebody who was determined with great willpower to succeed. She didn't have all the greatest gifts of a mind or even athletic ability. As a matter of fact, she was horribly unathletic, but she tried real hard. She would tell you right now, she wasn't the most gifted person mentally, but no one outworked my twin sister. And I respect that, and I admire her for that. And I still don't know what I am or what I was. But you know what I hear within my family of five? Each of us are different. What's your family like? If you're a parent, you have at least a couple of children, you probably look at your children and you think, whoa, daylight and dark. My goodness, they're on the opposite ends of the spectrum. One is this way and that way, and this one's the absolute this way, and this one's complete opposite that way. And none of them are the same. They have a few characteristics that are similar, but in reality, they're polar opposites. Am I making sense? So to answer the question, how do I move beyond where I am? I had to first come to an understanding that we are all different people at different places. So I came up with four different types of maturity that you might need to be a part of. And I hope in some way one of these four or more will hit you and you'll hold on to it and you'll work for it. Now to give this more teeth, I want us to go to Colossians chapter 2. That's the text I want us to read and study in tonight. With the background of the Hebrews 6:1 verse, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrines and go on to maturity. Last year when my father preaches, they had a congregational theme of going on. Let's just move on. Move on from where we are. Move to something greater, something bigger, something more mature. Go on to maturity. How do I move beyond? You're in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start and read verses 24 to 29. Paul speaking to those Christians at Colossae. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Paul loves the church, and he's writing to her now. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And him we proclaim, that is Christ, warning everybody and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Guys, that's what we're trying to get to. 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And so today I kind of thought, man, I feel like Paul in some way, trying to preach this lesson. I want God to work in your life through this word. Are you willing to let him tonight? Say amen. Half of you aren't willing. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their heart, listen to it. Now here we go. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now we've just read through a lot of meat. Can we turn this on? Is that working? Fantastic. I see four different types of maturity. And they build off of each other. Let me give the list. Maturity type one, maturity in living. Some of us need to grow up in the way we live as a Christian. Maturity type number two, maturity in understanding. That's right here, my mind, my knowledge, my wisdom according to Scripture. Maturity type number three is the mission. Some of us need to grow up and recognize what the mission is. Am I answering it and living it out or not? It's that simple. And then some of us need to grow up. Number four, I would say most of us potentially, is the maturity in assurance. Now I find all four of these from the text that we just read. Let me show you how it's the case. Maturity number one. That's the maturity in living. Look at verse 2. This is Paul saying to the church at Colossae that their hearts, here's how he wants them to mature in Christ, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Paul wants the church to be united, much like Jesus' statement and his prayer from John 17. Father, we pray that we might be united as you and I are united, as we are one, that they may be one. God loves people who live together, work together, and help each other along the way. We as a church have to be there. Hold and bookmark Colossians chapter 2. Now flip to Romans chapter 12. You ready for a quiz? A spiritual inventory quiz? I want you to take the quiz with me. It's in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 10. Have you, and that's how I will start each one of these, in your mind, answer yes or no. Have you or are you loving one another with brotherly affection? Yes or no. Have you or are you outdoing one another in showing honor? Or are you just seeking it for yourself? Yes or no. Are you, verse 11, lazy in your zeal for God? Yes or no. Are you fervent in the Spirit? Are you serving the Lord? Yes or no. Do you rejoice in hope? Are you patient in tribulation? Yes or no. Are you a person that's constant in prayer? Yes or no. Do you contribute to the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm asking you individually. Yes or no. You see, one way to mature is just looking at what God says a Christian is and asking myself the question, am I doing this, yes or no? If no, well then your sin needs to stop and your service needs to begin. If yes, then praise God, continue on, my brother or sister in Christ. Yes or no. What's the point? If you haven't done these things and aren't doing them today, you better start. It's time to grow up and go on and move beyond where you are and where you've been. Now back to Colossians chapter 2. That's maturity step level 1. How are we doing with one another? Encouraging each other, outdoing one another in love, not being slothful, but being fervent in the Spirit. Now, maturity type number 2. Maturity and understanding. Back here in verse 2, I've tried to highlight it on the screen if it's big enough for people to read. Paul's saying that he wants their hearts to be encouraged as they are being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Before I give you number 2, can I go back to number 1? Here's an interesting thing about the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ that I'm figuring out. Isn't that fun? I didn't know, the fire marshals must be so pleased with us. There are 47 doors of exit in this building. Wow. When my parents came, we walked in and out of all 47, and we were impressed. They were very impressed. I'm being obviously very facetious. And I appreciate and I understand we have wonderful facilities here. Let me say this. I'm so grateful for the men and women who've sacrificed to have such nice facilities, because we are so blessed in that area, aren't we? My goodness, yes. Many people sacrificed and paid prices, and not just with money, but with sweat and effort and time to give us these facilities. My goodness, let's use them to the glory of God. Amen? Yes, but with 47 doors of exit, you know what it's tough to do sometimes? Talk to people. Mingle with one another. We have 4 lobbies. I can't transport to all of them, so I miss people from time to time, and I don't want to do that. Part of me wants to lock all the doors and bottleneck you right through there so I can shake everybody's hand. I guess that's the old school preacher in me. We have a job to be knit. When we assemble in these large assemblies, take advantage of the opportunity. West side, east side, north side, south side, whatever part of the church you're a part of. And fewer who are central. I appreciate that. I'm serious. When's the last time you walked across the auditorium to meet somebody and talk to somebody you don't talk to on a regular basis? Might help your faith. It might help you in the maturation process. I'm trying to be real practical tonight. Maybe that's going to sit with you for a little while. Maturity type number two. That the church will reach all the riches of a full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Spoiler alert, Paul said, the mystery is Jesus. That He is the Christ, which means the Anointed One. He is the Son of God, which means He's the Messiah. He is the guy that we've been prophesying about and people have been talking about for all these years under the Old Covenant in Judaism, the Hebrew lifestyle. Well, Jesus is it. He's the reason for every season. Maturity and understanding. Now, this is the mental knowledge understanding portion of the lesson. The revealed mystery is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me say this. If He's not your Lord, then what is He? And if He is your Lord, then I have to seek out and know anything and everything I can about Him. You know what I loved as a child? Asking my father questions about his past. Asking my dad questions about his family. Asking my dad questions about his opinions, his thoughts, his beliefs. Sitting down on the couch every evening, him in his recliner, me on the couch, TV on, and I'm interrupting it, pressing mute so I can talk to him. Being my father, I wanted to learn as much as I could about him. Now that may just be a unique relationship with a father and a son. I don't know. I don't know what your father was like. But I know that if somebody is my Lord, He doesn't want to be some distant figure I barely know, but rather a close-knit friend that I'm in a deep personal relationship with. Now, this is the mental aspect. Do you need to mature in your understanding of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, or God the Spirit? There's an interesting phrase in chapter 2, and Paul is warning the Christians about certain things. He says in verse 8 of chapter 2, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition or according to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ." Other translations say this, "Be sure that no one takes you captive." Another translation says this, "Make sure that no one leads you away." Another translation says this, "Make sure that no one might spoil you," as in turn you sour or turn you bad. Why? Because you're stuck in immaturity. You can't reason in Scripture, know what is good, bad, righteous, unrighteous, what is God's will and what is not God's will. If that's you, you absolutely can grow and move beyond and become better. Do you know that? And it can start tonight. You know, Christianity is not philosophy. You saw that word philosophy in verse 8. Christianity is not a philosophy of life. Christianity is my life. Amen? Man, amen. It better be. It's not some philosophy that I just hold in this life, but rather Christianity is my life. Christianity is not just a knowledge of abstract principles, but rather a personal relationship with God through faith that results in knowledge. I love my Lord, I live for my Lord, and I'm drawn close to my Lord, therefore I know about my Lord. Christianity is my life, and therefore I seek to mature in understanding philosophy. How about a personal relationship with my Lord? Empty deceit. Satan is cunning, the devil is intelligent, and the world seeks to steal you away. A mother made a wonderful statement last Wednesday night when she told me that very thing. Satan wants our children, but he also wants you. You know, everybody wants to eat desserts all day, every day. Well, not everybody. You could have some sickness and disease that would absolutely kill you. I know I want to eat sweets and desserts all day long. You're going to get sick of my home stories, but some little bird in my house talks every morning, "Hey, Dad, we're not eating Oreos, are we?" "No, son, it's 7:30 in the morning." We all want to fill ourselves with the sugary fluff of nothingness. Well, guess what the world wants to do? Fill you with the sugary fluff of nothingness. It tastes good, it looks good, it's pretty and sparkly, and it's right before your eyes. You put it in your mouth, boy, that's nice for just a moment. It's like double bubble gum. You chew on double bubble gum eventually because it breaks a couple of your teeth. But once you finally get through that crystally harder core of the double bubble gum, you get the sugary rush, and then in 7 seconds, it's nothing but this nasty glucose grossness. Why? It's the sugary fluff of nothingness. You living with an immature understanding of the Word of God is equated to living off the sugary fluff of nothingness. It's nothing. It won't sustain, it won't fill, and it definitely won't allow you to grow and to mature. 1 Timothy 4, 20 through 21 says, "Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it some have swerved from the faith." If you are immature in your understanding of the Word of God, I'm talking about the Bible, you are in danger, my friend. Please, let me help you. Let one of our shepherds help you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter said. You might need to grow in your understanding and mature in this field. What's the point? Work today to increase your mind. Number three, maturity in mission. We have a mission to be a part of. That's absolutely faded out, and I'm sorry about that. The bottom half says the domain of darkness. The top half says the kingdom of the Son. What we do in maturing in our mission is understanding that disciples of Christ make disciples of Christ. And if I'm not making disciples of Christ, I wonder if it's because I am a disciple of Christ. So ask yourself the question, am I a disciple or am I just a churchian? You're going to hear me get on the hobby horse of being an evangelist because it's my own greatest weakness. Do you hear me on that one? Me first. You last. Okay? This is my most frustrating piece of Austin Johnson, that I'm unwilling to, with faith, move out of my comfort zone and try and share the saving message of Jesus. Because if it is a saving message, and if people are dying and going to hell, and it is, and they are, why am I not talking to people about it? I don't know. This is an area I need help in. And so here's an 8-step progression. Contact somebody in your neighborhood. This is small talk conversation. This is, hey, how are you doing? My name is, your name is, and remember the name. Write it down. Repeat it to yourself as you walk indoors. That's contact. Converse is actually moving beyond the weather, your name, or did you watch the game? It's having a deeper, more meaningful conversation of substance. So you contact the person, you have a conversation with the person, you introduce them to the community of believers that you're part of. You don't have to invite them to church. Maybe you have a couple of people that come to your house for a devotional. Invite them to that place. Maybe you have a group of friends that go out to eat. Invite them to Arby's or Wendy's if it's Wednesday night after Bible study. Invite them to see your community of believers. They'll know we're Christians by our love. And when they see us and they see and experience our love, man, they'll want to know what that is. And you can then tell them, hey, this is the gospel of Jesus, and this is how it's changed me. It can change you. Hey, can I read the Bible with you? Maybe, Lord willing, praise God, someone will be converted to Jesus. And you can help lead them to a committed life of being a disciple of Christ to make disciples of others. Then they will grow, mature in Christ, and then they will go and make disciples of other people. Maybe you need to mature in your mission. Maybe. You need maturity and assurance. So last night, watching the Titans and the Patriots, if you're not a football fan, I'm sorry. I didn't care one way or another about the game. One team went up by a couple points, a point I think it was, and they kept showing a close-up image of TB12, otherwise known as the greatest football player to ever live, otherwise known as Tom Brady. And he had this steely-eyed look about him. Extreme confidence under pressure. You know who the most assured people are? Those who have been there before. Those who have gone through the ups and downs. Those who have experienced life both in the pitfalls and the praiseworthy moments of success. Those people are the most assured. And so you might be saying to me tonight, Austin, I don't feel assured. I don't have all the confidence that I need to have as a Christian. Because when you read phrases like Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, when Paul said, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I'm absent in the body, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see, watch this, your good order and, watch this, the firmness of your faith in Christ. This is full assurance. I know somebody who I'm growing to love who makes this statement to me, Austin, I can walk anywhere, go anywhere, and have any conversation with anybody because I have faith. And oh my God will keep me through. I want that assurance. You know the most assured people I talk to about their faith? Those people who've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years. They might be sick in the hospital, and every time I go visit them, almost every single time without exception, I'm shaking their hand or I'm praying with them or having a close conversation. Here's what they say. Yeah, I'm ready. It's okay. I want that assurance, don't you? Yes, you do. So you might be thinking, I don't have that assurance. I don't have that utter and extreme confidence, kind of like the peace that passes our understanding from Philippians 4. So this may be the most difficult area to mature in, to be the most calm and confident and assured person to live before my God. Well, you may not have been there before. You could be a new Christian. You may not have gone through those trials. You may be just experiencing them or one right now. You haven't gone through the ups and downs and know that it's going to be okay afterwards. So how do you grow in this area? Find someone who's been there. This is why God's church is a multi-generational church. This is why the Timothy 2:2 principle is that older teach the younger, because they've been there, they've done that. They have the full assurance of the understanding of the knowledge of God, which is Christ and His Lordship. So I'm going to live for Him, love Him, and know that He'll save me in the end. And so that trial you're going through, it's tough now, but I know that my God will give you peace in the midst of the trial. He'll give you the calm in the storm, and He'll help you come through in the end. You find somebody who's been there. I think sometimes in church, quote unquote, we hurt ourselves when we try and segment age groups with age groups. Littlest, next littlest, middlest, next middlest, oldest. And there's no cross-thread interaction of wise, mature faith discussing with young, innocent zeal that need guidance. And how they both interact with each other and lift each other up. So you need to find somebody. If you don't have assurance, find an older Christian who's lived it, who's walked it, and is right there with it, assured in Jesus. Maybe you're an older folk. Maybe you're somebody that's been around the block a few times. I think I just said the word folk. Maybe you've been around the block a few times. This is me preaching. Maybe you feel a little tired, a little worn down, maybe a little jaded. Go find some young Christian, full of zeal and energy, and probably very little wisdom. But that's okay, because each one has their role to play in God's church. Each one matters where they are right now, and each one can find another one to help you become better. I don't know what area you need to mature in. But I've prayed to God that in some way you found an area that you're going to work towards. Because in 2020, by the grace of God and the help of our Lord Jesus, empowered by His Spirit, we will move beyond and become better. If your better tonight has sparked your heart and you need the support of the church, we want to be a house of prayer and a people who are knitted together in love, supporting, helping, and encouraging faith. Take that step and watch as God's church showcases the love, the support, and the closeness of family. It is the best family to be a part of. We want to help you tonight. God does too. So if you have a need in any way, let it be known as we stand and sing together.